Intervju Radija Študent.
Neil Young, filmski kritik in redni gost festivala Kino Otok. Pred dobrim tednom smo kot vsako leto zapustili prestolnico in se podali na 18. mednarodni filmski festival Kino Otok Izola Cinema. Program je tudi tokrat veliko obetav, poleg starejših klasik, kot so Pasolinijeva Zborovanja v ljubezni, Dekle Marte Mesaroš in Šerburški dežniki Žaka Demija, smo si lahko ogledali številne novejše igrane in dokumentarne celovečerce, od blizu in daleč. Žal nam večernih projekcij ni uspelo ujeti, saj jim je ponovno konkurirala programska sekcija kratkih filmov Video na plaži, kjer je v dobrih dveh urah namesto v enega mogoče vstopiti v več različnih svetov. Festivalskega vzdušja pa nismo izkusili le na plaži. Poneslo nas je predvsem v izolske kavarne. V eni od njih smo spoznali filmskega kritika in starega znanca Kina Otok, Neila Younga. Young je prijatelj festivala že od samega začetka in se ga udeležuje že vrsto let. Čeprav je večkrat sodeloval pri oblikovanju programa, je za Radio Študent o festivalu in poklicu filmskega kritika spregovoril skozi oči zvestega obiskovalca. Ker pa je redni gost filmskih srečanj tudi poklicno, smo ga vprašali, kako se po njegovem mnenju Kino Otok razlikuje od ostalih festivalov.
Well, it's always been a festival which has a wide programming reach. Many festivals in the Balkan area are concentrating on certain types of film or certain countries of film. And Kino Otok has always been a festival which has shown films from all over the world. In fact, when it first started, the kind of programming ethos was to concentrate on films from Africa, East Asia, and South America. That was a sort of deliberate idea. I mean, obviously, they did show films from Europe and from North America, but a lot of the programming tried to be as eclectic as possible, you know. And as I say, for what is a relatively small event, I mean, it's, you know, in terms of the size of the town, in terms of the number of days, it's unusual to have that degree of ambition, because most smaller festivals say we have to concentrate and pick a theme, we have to, you know, be very specific, and Kino Otok was always a more general one. And also the other thing is that it's been a festival which has always been able to attract filmmakers. Obviously, Api Chapong, Vera Saptakun was here the first year, and Lisandro Alonso was here the second year. And it's unusual to have an atmosphere where these filmmakers can feel very relaxed and very welcome, and there's no sort of, you know, red carpet or separation. There's no sort of VIP treatment of anybody. Everybody is just sort of going around together and watching the films together. So I think that is quite unusual, and that has maintained since the earliest editions.
Če tudi v Izoli ne vidi elitizma, ki ga povezujemo s tovrstnimi prireditvami, se je na festivalu zvrstilo precej odmevnih filmskih ustvarjalk in ustvarjalcev. Nekaj jih je pripeljal tudi sam.
Well, the first few times I came, I was here really as a journalist, and then it was suggested that there was in those days a Friends program, in which friends of the festival would choose a film and then bring the director of the film, and I did that on several occasions. So yeah, it's a kind of programming role, and then obviously when I'm here, sometimes I've done introductions and Q&As, or maybe they have panels or discussions and things like that. But it's always been you know, quite casual, but it's also been nice to be able to bring filmmakers from other countries, because a lot of them have never been to Slovenia, certainly never been to Izola, and it's often a surprise when they get here and they see how nice it is, and they want to stay longer, which is good. So yeah, a few years ago I brought Joanna Hogg, who's a British director, who after that had She won the Sundance Film Festival with The Souvenir, a film that I actually also act in. And while she was here, she was working on the script of The Souvenir, so that was kind of a nice... it's nice for them to come, and they can concentrate on, you know, working if they want to and writing, and I think the environment is very stimulating because it's kind of, you know, a little bit of a quiet place, but also if they want to have... You know, excitement in the evenings and many interesting film screenings. And a lot of filmmakers have told me that they find it a very nice environment to think about films, perhaps. And then maybe we'll see what comes out later.
Čeprav je uveljavljen pisec, ki objavlja v ameriški reviji The Hollywood Reporter, britanski reviji Sight and Sound in londonski Tribuni, njegova zanimanja presegajo filmsko kritiko. Ker pa se priložnosti za poklic filmskega kritika v slovenskem prostoru razlikujejo od priložnosti kritika v angleško govorečem svetu, smo si želeli sogovorčeve perspektive.
Well, obviously, the big difference is that if you are living and working in Slovenia, the chances are that you'll be writing in Slovene language. And if you're living in UK, you'll be writing in English, so that increases your options. You maybe you write for an American magazine or an Australian magazine or an Australian newspaper or, you know, or Irish. There are English is very much a sort of universal language, as we know. And then if you live in Vienna, the German market is very large. So if you live in Vienna, it's not unusual to write for, let's say, newspapers in Germany or Switzerland. In Slovenia, the critic would then have to be flexible enough to be able to write in other languages, because maybe Italian could be a possibility. I don't know. So it is obviously more difficult. But, you know, it's also the case that in UK and in Austria, there are very, very few full-time professional film critics. And in the UK, they would nearly all be in London, and there would be probably no more than 10 or 15 of them, maybe not even that many. And even a very well-known critic like Mark Kermode, he will also be doing other things. He's broadcasting, I think he also teaches at university. So it's actually very, very unusual to find somebody who only writes about film. I mean, I think that was really a phenomenon of, like, say, let's say the 60s and 70s. There was this professional film critic. But I think, you know, that people like Roger Ebert are very, very unusual, and I don't... Maybe in the US there's a possibility to be a professional film critic. But it comes down to, you know, the media outlets and newspapers. Do they still want to have proper film coverage? And I know that in many countries, including Slovenia, the amount of exposure and coverage afforded to what we might call serious film, the kind of film that is shown in a festival like Izola, is reduced. And it's the easiest thing just to write about the latest Marvel thing or Tom Cruise and things like that. So yeah, it is difficult. But on the other hand, the benefit is that I think if all you do is write about film, I think that's a very narrow perspective. And I don't think it's a bad thing if people work in other areas, because I think the more experience you have outside of film criticism, I think that improves your film criticism. And I think if you only write film reviews for 7 days a week, I don't think that's a recipe to be a good critic, personally.
Ker Janga pogosto vleče na festivale v širšo balkansko regijo, smo se želeli izvedeti, s čim ga je pritegnila relativno odmaknjena filmska krajina.
I was visiting Slovenia quite a lot between 2002 and 2006-07, and then I started to explore Serbia, Croatia, and different Macedonia and different parts of the Balkan area. And it was accidental to begin with, but I do think it is an interesting area in terms of cinema, because obviously you had Yugoslavia, which was a country which massively supported cinema. And, you know, Tito was a huge film fan, and Tito welcomed international film production. And you had a whole Yugoslavian film industry with Bata and Boris Dvornik films and these war movies. So the legacy of that is a lot of those directors are still around. So Želimir Žilnik or Karpo Godina, you know, the great directors who made films in Yugoslavian times, a lot of them are still there. And obviously, the individual countries which have emerged from Yugoslavia, you do have kind of a varied and quite interesting film scene, which often does refer back to what happened. So I think the fact that the film culture here is interesting is a reflection of the fact that the area is interesting. So to me, it's a combination of the historical, social, and political things that have happened in this part of the world and how that has always been reflected in film.
Zanimanja za film pa Neil opaža tudi pri mlajši generaciji.
I think the fact that there is this historical element and a lot of younger people emerging who are interested in film and want to express themselves in film, because that's not automatic. You know, if you're a 20-year-old now, maybe you want to make TikTok videos, maybe you want to write computer games, maybe you want to make pop videos. But when I come to places like Izola and I go to Belgrade, or if I go to Croatia, you do find many younger people who do genuinely engage in cinema. Like here, for example, yesterday a group of young programmers between the ages of 14 and 18 presented Jacques Demy's Umbrellas of Cherbourg. I mean, this film was made 7 years before I was born, let alone for them. I mean, for them this must feel like ancient history, but this was the film that they chose to present as their choice. So that was very encouraging, I think.
Neil Young kot kritik in oblikovalec programa filmskih festivalov sicer dela na Dunaju, kjer ostaja v stiku s filmom iz širše balkanske regije.
Living in Vienna, you are exposed to a lot of Balkan and ex-Yugoslavian culture because we have so many people from those areas. So Serbian films get released in Vienna. Južni Vetar was just, you know, you see posters for mainstream Serbian films in the city, just as you'll see posters for Ceca concerts, you know. So I do feel in Vienna quite kind of close to the Balkans in many ways. But when I get the chance, I do try to educate myself and see older films. And, you know, for me, the greatest film ever made is by Ljubomir Simonic called Gertie the Wicked Witch, which is a short film from the mid-70s. And I think particularly Yugoslavian experimental cinema of the 60s and 70s, names like Martinac and Godina and Jilnik that I mentioned. And for me, that was a very, very rich area. And I still, there's another film called The Mallet, I forget the name of that one, from the late 70s. But, you know, often these filmmakers were not sort of supporting the regime. I mean, they weren't like pro Tito, they weren't pro Communist Party filmmakers, they were kind of renegades and rebels in their way. And I find this a very rich area, and there are still, I'm sure there are many huge areas of cinema that I don't know. One last name to mention, of course, is Davorin Marts, who's from here in Izola, and you know, a very major figure, I think, in post-war European experimental cinema. Who he's less of a showman than Kapo Godina or Zilnik, so he kind of keeps his art quiet. But when you see a film like Paura in Città by Davorin Marts, I mean, that's clearly one of the best experimental films, and he's from right here in Izola.
Zanimalo nas je, če Younga pri snovanju programov filmskih festivalov kakšen žanr še zlasti nagovori.
Yes, I work, as I say, for a couple of short film festivals as a programmer, and my personal preference is towards experimental type films, and so if I get the chance to include those sorts of films in our program. And I also used to, until last year, I was working for a film festival in Palic in Serbia, the European Film Festival. I mean, I'm still working for them, but in a different way. I was programming for them, and every night we did a program of experimental shorts, basically. European experimental shorts for 5 nights, 10 o'clock, open-air screenings, a little bit like video on the beach that they have here. And obviously for that program, because I had complete freedom to program whatever I wanted, I would include music videos, I would include experimental films, documentaries, some fiction films sometimes. So yeah, for that I had to keep a relatively close eye. And we always like to include at least one Serbian film every night, you know, because it's a Serbian festival we want to promote, and the organizers are very keen to do that. But again, it's not hard to do that because there are so many experimental filmmakers in Serbia, many of whom are showcased by the Alternativa Film and Video Festival, which is in December in Belgrade.
Se torej sodobni balkanski eksperimentalni film poklanja bogati dediščini ali gre povsem svojo pot?
Yeah, I mean, by its nature, it's very hard to generalize about experimental cinema because it's so different. And that's what's good about it, because it doesn't have to conform to commercial pressures, and it can be as long as it likes, it can be as extreme as it likes. And, you know, so by its nature, experimental cinema will always be the most diverse section of filmmaking. So there are certain directors who do homage and they do use fan footage. But I find less that less of that goes on than in Austria. Like in Austria, there's a huge experimental scene, but it's everybody is very much in the shadow of the masters, and everybody is sort of referring to those older films. And as I say, here in the Balkan area, I think the younger directors sometimes they might reference somebody, but like for instance, here in this in Izola a few years ago, they had a program of short films by Igor Bezinovich, who's a filmmaker from Rijeka, not far from here, and his films are very humorous and very sort of brief and to the point, and very it's unusual to have sort of let's say experimental or adventurous cinema which is also very funny. So to me, like, he's a sort of a very good example of I mean, he's nearly 40 now, but he's sort of a younger filmmaker who finds his own way of making films. He's actually currently working on a longer film about Gabriele D'Annunzio in the Rijeka connection. But he's able to find a way to express himself in a way which is accessible and as I say, genuinely funny. And because, of course, a lot of people think that sort of experimental cinema is always very serious and it has to be very, you know, dark and experimental and political and things like that. But I think he's always a director that I look to as an example of kind of Balkan, Croatian fresh voice, let's put it like that.
Za konec se vrnimo k festivalu, na katerem smo na prijetnega sogovorca sploh naleteli. 17 let ni malo časa in Nil nam zaupa, kaj se je po njegovem mnenju v teh letih na otoku najbolj spremenilo.
I think the festival has kind of has some changes here and there, but I think it's the town that's changed more than the festival. Certainly in the last two or three years, it seems to have become more, I don't know, more fancy, more expensive, more, I don't know, more. In the earlier days, there was more of a kind of rough-edged charm to it. You know, it's a fishing town and it didn't have that many kind of high restaurants and things. I mean, it doesn't now. It's not as if it's, you know, the Riviera or something, but it seems as though every time I come, there's a couple more fancy restaurants and the prices are going up and the menus are a bit smoother. And there are these little signs that that the people are coming here are maybe more spending more money than they used to. I don't know. It just seems as though it gradually becomes a slightly fancier. But you know, it's still, you know, you still have the fishing in the harbour, you still have the location, and some things don't change. And of course, Manzioli used to be the big outdoor venue, and now we use Arrigoni, which is a very nice. I actually think it's a nicer cinema, so that is a plus for me. And I remember last year watching Fellini's Knights of Cabiria at Arrigoni. So if I have one tip, I would say when you come to Izola, it's a little walk. I mean, it's not far, but it's a little walk. But I think it's worth the effort to go to Arrigoni, and it's really a special place to see films.
Kavo je Nilu častila Nika, podlago pa spizdila DJ-ju, kje so roke.
Intervju Radija Študent.